Chapter 57. Dulcie and the Swine. Lady Dulcet Brockwood, Harriet explained as we went back into the hall. Young and very pretty indeed.
How young? I asked warily.
18, I think. Harriet mounted the stairs. Unmarried, unengaged, and very rich. I followed as closely as our dresses allowed.
Then why has she not been snapped up? I wondered, for we both knew how the marriage market worked.
I believe Lady Brockwood refuses to be snapped, Harriet said. She is determined to marry whom and when she pleases.
I like the sound of her.
We reached the top. But would she be willing to help? When she was 14, she disguised herself as a cabin boy and boarded a ship to see the world, Harriet told me. They got as far as Trinidad before she was discovered and sent home.
I am not sure, I said, that we should be putting someone so young at such risk.
Why not let her decide? My friend suggested. She should still be here. We went along the corridor to the boardroom at the end. Lady Dulcet Brockwood was playing stud poker, and, to judge by the pile of coins at her side and the few that her three companions possessed, doing rather well. She rose from the table, tall and slim, with long golden blonde hair, tied back in a simple chignon, her coral pink dress pinched in for a waist. I could have almost put my hands round, and I should have hated her, but she had such a lovely, welcoming smile, and held out her hand and said, "Marge, I have been dying to meet you ever since Harriet told me of your adventures." Her fingers were long and held on to mine long after Harriet had introduced us.
"I cannot equal your escapades at sea, Lady Brockwood," I said, and she frowned. "Please call me Dulcie."
And she leaned forward to whisper in my ear, "I made all that up, but don't tell them." She pulled back and winked.
"I was about to have a G&T. Will you join me?"
"I shall forego the tea," I said, as she linked her arm through mine. "I had more than enough quinine in India."
"I think I have read all your accounts of your escapades with Mr. Gryce."
Dulcie poured the four of us a drink. "He would not be happy to hear them called that," I told her.
"From what you write, I wonder if he is ever happy at all."
"I could make him happy," Harriet said wistfully, never having met him.
"You would eat him alive," Dulcie prophesied.
I laughed. "I think you would find him indigestible, Harriet."
"Cheerio,"
Dulcie clinked my glass. "March and I are planning a little adventure," Harriet said, and I listened warily, for this newcomer was not lacking in confidence, but looked very young indeed.
"I think I will call it a day while I still have enough for a cab home,"
one of the women at the table called out, and her companion stood up.
"I have to get back to the Swine."
And only when she had shut the door behind her did I ask, "Does she mean her husband, or does she keep pigs?"
"Both,"
Dulcie told me, and we laughed.